Today on Real Radio.
When we stand before God, it's going to be reviewed regarding, was Jesus Christ our passion for living? In other words, if Jesus Christ is our passion, church, for living, then every temptation, everything else of our desires, everything else of this world will be following suit.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. There's a section in chapter 5 where Paul tells us that we believers will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we will give an account for our every word, deed, and thought. And remember, this is not the same as the final judgment that will happen with unbelievers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, with more in his series of lessons called When Jesus Christ Judges Us.
As Christians, there's the great judgment of the house of God, the believers in Christ, not regarding sin, not regarding what we've done wrong in the sense of sinning, that's been done at the cross. But the judgment of the believer in our faithfulness unto God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and just because we ought to, let's read again, beginning at verse 1, even though we'll end with verses 9 through 11. The context, Paul says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent," he's talking about his body, physical body, "is destroyed, we have a building, a body from God, a house not made with hands," that is human hands, "eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." Paul is simply saying, we've got a body that is designed by God waiting for us in heaven. Imagine a suit waiting for you that's fit for heaven. Verse 3, "If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent or body groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, or even better clothed. How so? That mortality may be swallowed up by life." Verse 5, "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Verse 9, "Therefore," that is everything he just said in those 8 verses, "we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what has been done, whether good or bad," that is profitable or unprofitable. "Knowing therefore the terror or fear of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience." Church, as we come to the conclusion of this push, we've considered 2 key points to verses 9 through 11 regarding this day that is coming for every believer when Jesus Christ will judge us. Number one, by review, you remember this, he will review, verse 9, all of our opportunities. And we looked at 3 things regarding that. God has placed in the life of every Christian, daily I might add, I believe, opportunities. And 3 things we pointed out in verse 9. When we stand before God, it's going to be reviewed regarding, was Jesus Christ our passion for living? In other words, if Jesus Christ is our passion, church, for living, then every temptation, everything else of our desires, everything else of this world will be following suit regarding our passions to Christ. The second thing we saw is that we're going to be examined, evaluated, whether or not Jesus Christ was our reason for living. Why we did what we did, our reason. I thank God as a Christian, you get out of bed every morning with a great reason, and that is to live for the glory of God. And then we saw also that Jesus, it will be reviewed of us, was he our inspiration? Was he the very motive for us doing what we do in life? getting up, going to work, everything that we do. And then our second point last time together was found in verse 10, and that is, when Jesus Christ judges us, he will reward our faithfulness. This is probably the biggest, most, I think, important thing for us as believers, because throughout Scripture it says that we are to be found faithful. And we saw in verse 10 that it is Jesus, he will unveil the real you and I. And this was a very soul-searching thing to consider. God knows on the inside of you and I what really makes us tick. Now remember, I need to insert this. This message is regarding the believer, not the unbeliever. This is only for the Christian, not the non-Christian. You're going to be in heaven. Glory awaits, amen? But until we get there, God knows the very inside of our hearts, and he knows what drives us. And that inside, as we mentioned last time, will be turned inside out on that day. We saw also in verse 10 that he will reward us for what we've done. And we talked about casting crowns before the Lord, remember that? And we want that to happen. We want to make sure that we are faithful in this life, because in doing so, we honor God in the end in that great day of worship. And then the last thing we saw before now we get into the third point was this: he will discern why we did what we did. That will all be unveiled, that will all be made known. So part three and the final push, verse 11, when Jesus Christ judges us, church, look at it with me, found in verse 11. It says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known, says Paul, to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. The third thing is this, that he will recount our efforts. I think we've all had this thing in our minds that when we appear before God, there's going to be this huge reel that's put on a projector, right? And it's turned on, and you'll hear the film's running, and here you are as a little child running around stealing your brother's Snickers bar, and God's keeping... That's not going to happen to you. Christian, that's not going to happen to you. Isn't that good news? It's not going to be a recounting of, oh man. No, that was finished at the cross. That's why as Christians we exalt what Jesus did at the cross. Jesus died for our sins at the cross. We will never be judged for our sins. By the way, I don't need to go off into this direction, but many people struggle with end time events because they believe that somehow they've got to go through end time events, they've got to suffer, they've got to go through all these things during the tribulation period to somehow make penance for their sins or to be disciplined by God during that time for their sins. That will not be the case. The Bible tells us clearly that God will judge an unbelieving world. You're not a earth dweller, according to the old King James Version. You are a child of God. God paid for your sins at the cross. Your sins were judged. When Jesus said, it is finished, what was he saying? What was he referring to? All of your sin and mine. Isn't it amazing? Only God can do this. Your sin before you were ever born, God knew. He knew from the day that you would start sinning, consciously knowing, and for that matter, your sin nature, all the way through to the last day you breathed your last breath. And Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And you say, well, Pastor, don't say that too loud, because if people believe that, then they're going to go out and sin like crazy, knowing that Jesus died for their sins. A real believer can't think that way. A real believer will not think that way. Jesus did that at the cross. He will recount our efforts, and we want to look at this carefully and notice the profound motivation. Watch this. Mark it down. Verse 11. Did we live with the end in sight as a Christian? This is very important for us. Did we live? Are you and I living as Christians with the end in sight? Listen, I don't know about you, but I always want to see the end in sight. I want to know that there's an end to this. Are you suffering right now? Are you going through some pain? Are you going through some dilemma, some issue? You want to know that on such and such a date, there's an end in sight. Or there's a finish. Or there's a termination of this thing. You know, it's funny. You get on an airplane and you pull up. I guess even before you get onto the airplane, you drive your car up to the terminal. Isn't that weird? You haven't even started your trip yet. But it's called the terminal? I mean, I don't want to think a morbid thought, but how sad is it that you pull up to get on a tin can to be catapulted through the atmosphere, and it begins with the word terminal? Not too hopeful. But for those that are arriving, it's good news. I'm getting off this ridiculous airplane. Can't wait to get to my destination. And that is the terminus, the finish line to the trip. And think about it, in this room today, it may be 50% true if you think about it. There are those taking off, and they're not quite sure how it all ends. But for the Christian, for us in this room, for us listening right now, we know the ending. We know how it's going to terminate, and it's good. Everything in our lives right now, please listen, is all preparatory to our eternity. Did you think of that? Oh, I've lived my life. Thank God it's over. Are you kidding me? For the Christian, it's just beginning. It is awesome to think. Are we living with the end in sight? And we need to think about that. When we think about, and by the way, when I mentioned the word recount, the word means to comb over or to search over, to relate in detail. The word means to tell or to narrate a story. The Bible says here in verse 11, knowing. This is a great word. It means to be fully aware, to have an inner knowledge and an understanding that this is true. The Bible suggests that every human being has a knowledge internally that there is a terminating point of life. And there's always the question that nags everybody. Please don't let any atheist or agnostic ever tell you, because they'll be lying to you, that they don't believe in eternity, that they don't believe there's a final end, that they don't believe that. Listen, they're fooling themselves and they're trying to fool you. God has placed it inside. The Bible says God has placed eternity in our hearts. Think of it. Every human being thinks with the possible looming specter of the end. For the Christian, the end is good. The end is awesome. Well, but Jack, if it's awesome, then why does it say knowing therefore the terror of the Lord? Because you and I will stand before God and there will be a time of recounting, but it will be regarding the advancement of the kingdom. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if we're all Christians in this room this morning, we may be dedicated to a lot of different things and various ministries, and that's good. And that's how the body of Christ works. But you know what? We have this one overriding point to our involvement in whatever we do. And that is to bring as many men and women, boys and girls, to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as possible. No matter what you're doing. You may be involved in the truck stop ministry across America. You may be involved in the radio stuff. You may be involved in handing out tracts. And there's some of you, God bless you. I've never really gotten into this, but I'm grateful for those who, they don't say anything to anybody, but they put a Bible tract in every mailbox, every fast food drive-through window. They hand a tract out. That's great. Their husband or wife bites into their sandwich at lunch, and there's a tract in there telling them the four spiritual laws. That's fantastic. Whatever we are doing with one key thing in sight, and that is understanding. We're running out of time. And we're not running out of time as believers like, oh no, we're running out of time. It's like, you know what? There's the end in sight. The clock is ticking. Oh boy, it's almost time to go. It's an awesome thing to think. The Bible says, in fact, look back a moment ago, we read it. Look at verse 5 of this chapter. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. God's at work. Who also has given us us the Holy Spirit as, don't you like the word guarantee? The guarantee. You buy something meaningful, you want to know the guarantee. I want to see what the guarantee is to this thing. I want to see what the guarantee is regarding that deal or whatever it is. The Bible says God has given us the guarantee of the Holy Spirit to get his finished desire done in your life. There is a finish line in sight, and I'm grateful. And that finish line may come for us in all kinds of different ways, or it may come with a great trumpet blast. Wouldn't that be awesome? When Jesus Christ returns, he will be coming not only for the church, but after he raptures us up out of this world, at some point in time, in eternity, in heaven, there'll be the Bema Seat judgment of Christ that we looked at last time together. But after that time of his great coming, we will stand there and there'll be this great terminating point. And imagine this, church, before we go on, every opportunity, all of the chances to evangelize and to spread the gospel and to share will be done. Think of it. We've been in some meetings regarding the Harvest America with Greg Laurie. Great vision. Harvest America. Instead of just localizing the Harvest Crusade to Anaheim, why not broadcast it through the platform of the media resources that are available to our modern age right now and get the crusade into every house in America if they want to tune in, to show it in the sanctuary of every church across America, to host something in the park maybe and have it displayed and invite people to come. Why? To do what? To get one more person to hear the gospel. I was talking to a particular evangelist recently, and someone had asked him, why are you on that so-called Christian television channel? It's crazy. And he said, I don't care if it's crazy or not. That's not what I'm on there for. If I'll go on anything, he said, to tell one more person about the love of God and that Jesus died for their sins. Man, that's bold. And that's awesome. Would you stand on this roof and shout to the community if one more person would come to Christ? I would say you would. I would hope you would. How valuable is one soul to you? Well, think about this. How valuable is your soul to you? How valuable is your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer, so much so that Jesus would have come and died for you on the cross if you'd have been the only person born of Adam and Eve. Hey, if you would have been Adam or Eve, he still would have come. That's amazing. His love is not like our love. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Why is Paul talking about this being such a critical moment? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, this is, by the way, only the Christian can do this, not the non-believer. This is to the Christian. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. God will, as it were, heat up and test what we've done. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built upon, endures, it will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, that is, we did things for the wrong motive or whatever, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so by fire. What does that mean? That means every Christian standing at the Bema Seat Judgment of Christ, which is what's being referred to here in 1 Corinthians 3 and in our text of 2 Corinthians 5, the Christian will be reviewed. Our motives will be tested. And the great thing is, the end will come. And it's a good end. You say, but what if I've got straw? Well, look, are you still breathing? You can change that right now. Isn't that great news? Get involved in what God wants to do. Find out and do it. And doing it doesn't save you. This is only to the saved. Doing it doesn't bring you any accolade. It glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you do it. Well, you're telling us what we need to do. You don't need to do anything. Look, if you want to just stand there with a bunch of straw on that day, you guys remember Wizard of Oz, the original one? And what did the, remember what the witch, has nothing to do with our study, but do you remember when the witch shows up and she says, how's about a little fire? And she says it to, Scarecrow, that's right, you must have just watched it. How's about a little fire, Scarecrow? And what does he do? He freaks out! You don't see the Tin Man freaking out? The Tin Man can't burn. Man, I don't want you standing there like Scarecrow. How's a little fire there, Scarecrow? No. But listen, it's for the believer. I want your life, and you ought to want your life to so count. Now, I personally believe this. I may be dead wrong. I don't think there's going to be those that are just in all that they've done for Jesus. They are all precious stones and gems and gold and silver. I think there's going to be things. I think there's things in your life and my life where we did for the wrong motive and things we did for the right motive. And we touched on that last time together. But when that day is done, in that great moment of judgment that all of us as believers will be involved in, that terminus, that end will be a great thing. You will be in heaven forever. John 5, 22 says, Jesus speaking, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." Wow. "That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment." This is damnation. You're not going to be judged in the sense of damnation as a Christian, but as passed from death to life. "Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Jesus Christ. It matters what you believe about Jesus. Have you heard people say, "I believe in God, but I'm not into Jesus"? Then you're not into God. The Bible says if you don't honor the Son, you don't have the Father. Think of that. "Well, I believe in God, but this thing about Jesus dying and being resurrected from the dead." Listen, you have to believe that Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected from the dead, or there's no eternity for you with him. Who said that? The Bible says that. In that great moment, we'll stand there before the Lord, and it's going to be an amazing thing. Our God, the Bible says, is a consuming fire. So what are we to do about this? The Bible says in Romans 13, here's our marching orders. This is good. See, what do I do about this? Romans 13, verse 11 says, those three words, "and do this." That's pretty clear, huh? "Knowing the time." By the way, the word implies that we are to be discerning the age and the time in which we live. "Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly." Be very, very careful what you get involved in. "As in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness." Boy, I tell you, if I was writing verse 13 in our culture today, making it very clear to us, not in lewdness, how about this? Not reading love novels and romantic novels and getting all excited in your mind, which is a form of pornea, or viewing pornography. Lewdness.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called When Jesus Christ Judges Us. It's actually a multi-part series taken from a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul writes of how we believers will all appear and give an account before the judgment seat of Christ. Again, When Jesus Christ Judges Us. It's actually a multi-part series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse collection of lessons through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, as 2015 begins to wind down, we want to invite you to take part in a very special, worthwhile activity for 2016. Get your hands on the one-year Bible and let's read it together. At the outset of every new year, we at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills begin reading the one-year Bible, and we encourage Real Radio listeners to do just the same. We often tell you about our Real Radio Book of the Month, which is always personally selected by Pastor Jack. Well, this time, it's the one-year Bible, and we want you to be a part of it. And if you think about it, the one-year Bible might make a great Christmas gift. The one-year Bible is available for purchase at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us and order it over the phone if you'd like. Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.